Today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 22, verse number 30. Mamanga maya guna maya nikadha. Vikalpa buddhista guner vidhate. Vaikarika strivido dhyatma mekam. Athati daiva madhi bhuta manyat. Mama, my, Anga, my dear Uddhava, Maya, material energy, Gunamayi, consisting of the three modes, Anekadha, manifold, Vikalpa, different manifestations, Buddhi, and perceptions of these differences, Cha, and Gunai, by the modes, Vidyate, establishes, Vaikarikaha, the full-blown manifestation of transformations. Trividha, having three aspects. Adhyatmam, called Adhyatma. Ekam, one. Atha, and. Adidaivam, Adidaiva. Adibhutam, Adibhuta. Anyat, another. Translation. My dear Uddhava, my material energy, comprising three modes and acting through them, manifests the varieties of creations, along with varieties of consciousness for perceiving them. The manifest result of material transformation is understood in three aspects, adhyatmik, adidaivik, and adibhautik. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The word vikalpa buddhi indicates that consciousness within various material bodies reveals different aspects of the Lord's creation. Birds such as seagulls glide on the ocean breezes, experiencing the Lord's creation of wind and altitude. The fish experience life within the water, and other creatures intimately experience life within trees or within the earth. Human society affords its own varieties of awareness, and similarly in heaven and hell, different experiences are available. All types of material consciousness are transformations of the three modes of material nature, the expansions of the Lord's illusory energy. Om Agyanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yatripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this chapter, we are seeing that in this section especially, the conversation between Lord Krishna and Uddhava is continuing. Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava when Uddhava has asked him certain questions about the material elements. Lord Krishna is answering those questions. He's elaborating on those questions. And in this section, in today's verse, Lord is further describing what happens after the material creation is manifested by the Lord. And the Lord explains that the Lord's material energy, which is called as Maya, and which consists of the three modes of material nature, that is the reason for the varieties of creation that we see in this material world. And the three modes of material nature are also the reason for the varieties of consciousness which are manifested in this material world to perceive these creations which are created in the material world. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Lord Krishna establishes the same philosophy. In chapter 9, verse 10, Lord says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyatesa characharam hetu nanena konteya jagad vipari vartate. So the Lord is telling Arjuna over there that this Maya, or this material energy of mine, it is the cause of the material creation, and it is producing all moving and non-moving things, and the people are entrapped. The entire material creation, or the entire creation of jivas, is entrapped in these three modes of material nature. So this Lord is establishing the same philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita as well. But the Lord says in the previous verse of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th verse, He says that although it is my material energy and the three modes of material nature are created to entrap or to entangle the jivas in the material creation, but I am neutral, or I am detached from all these things. Now we see many personalities throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam glorify or verify this philosophy, or verify the truth which the Lord is mentioning over here. For example, in the 8th canto, we have Lord Brahma, who is glorifying the Lord. There has been, the demons have killed some of the demigods, and there has been a big battle, and the demigods have been defeated by the demons. And they, as usual, go to Brahma, and they say, what should we do for this situation? And Brahma goes to the bank, or the shores of the Shvetadvip, the Kshir Sagar, and he is praying to the Lord over there, before the Mohini Murti incarnates. And he, same prayers Brahma is saying to the Lord in that section also. And after the Mohini Murti incarnation has manifested, even Lord Shiva goes to pray to Mohini Murti. And he also offers the same prayers, that Lord, it is you who are the cause, and who are the maintainer, and who are the annihilator of this entire material creation. But although you create such an intricate web, but you are not entangled in that web. And we were studying in our Bhakti Vaibhav around 3 years ago under Keshav Prabhu, that Brahma, when creation happens in the 2nd canto, when creation is happening and Brahma has been produced from the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, so he is on top of the lotus flower, and at that time he has darshan of the Lord. So we will come to that section, how he comes to have darshan of the Lord later. But at that time also Brahma is offering prayers to the Lord, and he is glorifying the Lord for this aspect of the creative impetus of the Lord. So he tells the Lord that, oh my Lord, you are the cause and you are the end of this entire cosmic manifestation. He tells the Lord, Tum Adir Anta Jagatasya Madhye. Tum Adir means you are the beginning, Anta means you are the end, and Jagatasya Madhye, and you are the middle or the maintainer of this entire manifestation. And there Lord Brahma gives the example of an earthen pot, or a ghata it's called in Sanskrit. So Lord Brahma says that just as the earthen pot has come from earth or from mud, so that means earth is the cause of the earthen pot being manifest. And the earth, because it retains its constituency, it is maintaining this earthen pot's shape as a pot. And ultimately at the end, when this pot is broken, where does it return? It returns back to the earth. So we see that the earth is the cause, the maintainer, and the end of the earthen pot. And similarly, Lord Brahma says that, Lord, you are also the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator of this entire cosmic manifestation. So there are lots of examples, or there are lots of analogies given by all these personalities when they praise the Lord or when they glorify the Lord for His creative impetus or His creative ability. And one of the most widely given example in the Bhagavatam by these personalities is the example of a spider. So Lord Brahma is telling that, oh my Lord, you are like a spider. And he wants to know, the Lord Brahma wants to know who is the source of his creation. When he is created on the from the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he wants to know the source. Because he was an intelligent being, he did not assume that everything has happened by chance. Like in the modern scientific world, we see everybody saying that everything has come from matter, or things have just happened by chance. Nothing, there is no source or there is no creator behind this whole creation. But Brahma was intelligent, so he wanted to know the source. He realized there is a source. But the method he used was the modern scientific method. So he used the induction method, in which through his own prowess, he tried to find out who was the cause, or who has created him, and where has all this thing which I'm seeing around me come from. But ultimately, as we know, all modern scientific endeavors also result in failure when they try to search out the source by on the premise that everything has come from matter. So similarly, Brahma also met with failure because he had used his own prowess. So he travels all the way down the stem of the lotus, and he goes for many celestial years, he keeps traveling down. But he is not able to find the source. And ultimately he comes back up and he is more confused than he was before. That what is my source? Where has everything come from? What is the purpose of all these things? So, but because he was an intelligent being, he acknowledged that there is a creator, and then, as most spiritually intelligent people do, he thought that the best way to me is to surrender. So he thought that I must surrender to this higher intelligence, or to this creator who has created me and this manifestation which I'm seeing around me. And because he had the desire and he acknowledged the presence of a creator, the Lord from within his heart tells him to do tapa. So he hears the word tapa, tapa, and he understands that he has to perform austerities, or he has to do tapasya. And then Lord Brahma starts performing austerities, for it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that for hundreds of celestial years he performs austerities. And then because of his austerities, the Lord is very pleased, and the Lord gives him darshan. And at that time, when the Lord gives him darshan, the Brahma glorifies and prays to the Lord. And similar verses Lord Brahma also mentions in those prayers, that how the Lord is the creator, how the Lord is the maintainer, how the Lord is the annihilator of this whole cosmic manifestation. And there Lord Brahma gives the example of the spider. So he compares the Lord to a spider, and he says that just as a spider, by his own energy, he builds the web, and then he plays on it for some time, he walks on it. Sometimes the spider appears to be entangled in his own web, but actually he is not. He is just playing on it. And then he ultimately withdraws, or he absorbs the whole web into himself. So same way the Lord Brahma prays. He says, Kridasya amogha sankalpa urnadir yatha urnate. So he says, Krida means play. So he says that just as a spider, by his own energy, creates the thread from his stomach and spins a web, you create this whole cosmic manifestation and you play with it. So he is comparing the Lord to a spider. And he says that this web is like the three modes of material nature. Like we see here Krishna mentioning to Uddhava that it is my material energy which comprises of the three modes of material nature, which is responsible for the further varieties of creation and varieties of consciousness which are manifest in the material world. So similarly, Lord Brahma also is telling Lord Krishna that you create this web, and this web is the three modes of the material nature, and you play within it And any other creature, now we have observed many times that the purpose of a spider creating a web is actually to entrap creatures in his web so he can eat them. So Brahma says that any other creature who will walk into this web will actually get entangled or will actually get entrapped in this web. But the spider without fear moves inside this web from one end to the other. He doesn't get entrapped in it, or he doesn't get entangled in it, or he doesn't get killed in that own his own web. So the Lord is similar to that. He is not entrapped by the three modes of material nature. It is Mama Maya, the Lord's energy. It is the Lord's energy. He is the creator of this energy, but he doesn't get himself entangled in this energy. And Kardama Muni also prays similarly to the Lord. When Kardama Muni, in the third canto, it is mentioned that Kardama Muni wanted to marry. And because he was a Muni, he didn't just go around dating, or he just didn't go around searching for a suitable wife. He adopted the Vedic process. He said that I will do austerities, or I will do tapasya to please the Lord, and then let the Lord decide which wife I should get, or which wife is the most suitable for me. So Kardama Muni does tapasya for many, many years, and then Lord Narayan personally comes on the Garuda bird, and Lord Narayan gives him darshan. And Kardama Muni sees the beautiful form of the Lord, and the Lord was so beautifully bedecked with various types of ornaments. He had a very nice mukut, he had the Kaustubha gem on his chest, he had the Vaidurya mani. So the Lord was so nicely decorated. And Kardama Muni again starts glorifying or starts praying to this form of Lord Narayan. And in one of those prayers, Kardama Muni also compares the Lord. When he is glorifying the Lord about his creative impetus, he compares the Lord to a spider. So Kardama Muni also says that the spider brings the thread from his stomach, he creates the web, and then he plays with it, and in the end he absorbs it back into him. And in the same way, O my Lord, you create this material manifestation. Shrijase, he uses the word. And then you maintain it. Pashi, you maintain this material world, and at the end you annihilate this material world by your own desire. And he says Ghashishyase, that means you annihilate this material world but by your own desire. And then Kardama Muni further tells him that this is Puna, Anta Puna, that means this is happening again and again and again. You create the web, you play in it for some time, and then you absorb it. Again you create the web, you play in it for some time, and you absorb it. Just like a spider does. But you yourself don't get entangled in these three modes of material nature, on this web of three modes. And in the 11th canto also, furthering this analogy of the spider, in the same canto, when we see the pastime of the Avadhuta Brahmana, so the Avadhuta Brahmana mentions that he has 24 gurus from whom he learned various things, and he mentions the sky and this and that. All these creations are his gurus. And one of the gurus which this Avadhuta Brahmana mentions is the spider. So the Avadhuta Brahmana says that when I observed the spider using his own energy to create a thread, spin the web and play in it, entrap creatures, and then absorb the web again in himself, that is when I learned how the Lord also manifests this creation. The Lord, similar to a spider, uses his own energy to create, maintain and annihilate this material universe. So it may look, when we see Kridasya, when we see the word Kridasya, it may look like this is a child's play that the Lord is creating. He is being compared to a spider. How, you know, the Lord creates, then he is on the web for some time, then he annihilates or he absorbs the whole web. It may look like a child's play, but the 11th canto also gives a hint that this is not child's play, and it is not that the Lord is doing it just ad hocly or the Lord is doing it without a purpose. And the Acharyas explain throughout the pages of Bhagavatam that there is a purpose behind this creation. And the Lord has done everything by his own desire but with a purpose in mind. So we see that the Lord creates this material world, and his material energy or the three modes of material nature, that is this web which the Lord creates, they manifest the further varieties, and they manifest further consciousness which can perceive these varieties of creation. So the soul is originally pure. It is a Krishna conscious soul, or originally it is a pure Jivatma, Satchidananda. That is the quality of the soul. But when the soul comes into this material world and gets entrapped in this web of the three modes of material nature, then the soul becomes contaminated. But the Lord is not contaminated. The Lord is not entangled in His own web. The jivas are entangled in this web which the Lord creates. So once the soul gets entangled in this web, the soul acquires various designations, or upadhis they are called as. And thus, the jiva, because of various designations and because of various consciousness or various bodies that a jiva acquires when he enters this web, he experiences different kinds of varieties because of the consciousness he has acquired. And as we read here, that just as a seagull, in the purport we read, that seagull has the body of a bird, so it is experiencing wind, and fish has the body of a fish, so it is experiencing water. Similarly, human beings have the body of a human being, so they are experiencing various varieties on the earth. So this is how the pure jiva, which was originally Krishna conscious, when it comes into this web, it gets entangled in these three modes, and it gets caught, and then the various consciousness of the jiva gets contaminated, and the various consciousness are manifest by the jiva. And the example which Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that rainwater is originally pure. So actually, if you catch rainwater before it has touched the earth, then it is the purest form of water for drinking. We don't need all these mineral waters and different kinds of waters, pure waters. So rainwater is originally pure, but when it comes in contact with the mud or the earth, it becomes muddy. And that is how it becomes contaminated. So similarly, the soul is originally pure, but because of these three modes of material nature mentioned in this verb, in this verse, the soul attains various kinds of consciousness in contact with these three modes. So, there are various transformations which happen in the soul when it comes into the material world because of the contact of material energy. And as mentioned over here, the manifest result of these material transformations are Adhyatmik, Adhidaivik and Adhibhautik. Now, from Burijan Prabhu's unveiling his lotus feet, we read, he has elaborated what does this Adhyatmik, Adhidaivik and Adhibhautik mean. So there Burijan Prabhu mentions that Adhyatmik person, or the Adhyatmik Jiva, is the Jiva or the spirit soul who has come into this web of the material creation. So that is referred over here as the Adhyatmik person. And then this Jiva has come to perceive the varieties of creation. So what is the Adhidaivik person? Adhidaivik person is the controller, or the demigods who are controlling the various senses of these jivas. So any person or any jiva, the Adhyatmik Jiva, who comes to this material world is dependent on the demigod for its sensory functions. So there are various demigods which are controlling the senses, like there are various demigods who control the eye, some demigod who controls the hearing, some demigods who controls the touch sensation. And Burijan Prabhu mentions over there that it is the sun, for example, the sensory function of seeing or sight is controlled by the sun god. So not only the sense, eye, is given by the sun god, but even the sense of sight is given by the sun god. And when we mention that the eye, the demigods are controllers of the senses, it is not that they give the gross senses. They are controller of the subtle senses. And from subtle, the gross manifests. And what is this gross sense, or what is this gross body? That is the Adhibhautik person, the third person, the third manifestation mentioned over here. So the Adhibhautik person is the body composed of the gross senses and the body composed of the gross material elements. That is the Adhibhautik person. And all these three persons are interdependent on each other. They are not independent of each other. They are interdependent. What will the Adhidaivik person do if there is no Adhyatmik or Adhibhautik person? Or what will a gross body do if there is no jiva within the body, or there are no demigods to supply the senses? So we see that these three, Adhidaivik, Adhyatmik and Adhibhautik persons are interdependent on each other. But the Lord is independent. The Lord is not dependent on anyone. And there Lord Brahma mentions in the second canto that the Lord is Sva-Ashraya Ashraya. That He is self-dependent, or He is the Ashraya of the Ashraya. He is the shelter of the people who need shelter. So this is how Brahma is glorifying the Lord. And we see that all jivas who are entrapped in this web, Adhidaivik, Adhibhautik or Adhyatmik persons, everyone who is entrapped in this web of the material modes, they are contaminated and they are thinking that I am not the soul, but I am this body, or I am this consciousness which I have acquired. And because of that, everyone starts thinking, I am Indian, I am Australian, I am a bird, I am a fish, I am an animal. That is because they have acquired these various consciousness because of the three modes of material nature. Now in scriptures, there are four stages of consciousness which are mentioned. The first stage of consciousness is called as the Jagriti consciousness, or the Jagriti stage. And this Jagriti stage, what does this Jagriti stage refer to? It refers to being awake, or being aware, or being acutely aware, or alert to whatever is happening to around us. So that is called as the Jagriti stage. Then the second state of consciousness is called as the Swapna state, or called as the dreaming state. And in these dreaming state, the person is sleeping, but he is having very nice dreams, or maybe nightmares, depending on what the person has gone through. So that is the second state of consciousness. And the third state of consciousness is called as Shushupti. Shushupti means deep sleep. And in this deep sleep, neither there is Jagriti, nor there is Swapna. But everything is deeply subdued. So these are the three states of consciousness which the scriptures mention. And we experience one of these three states at any point of time in our life. And what is death? What state of consciousness is death? So it is mentioned in the scriptures that death is nothing but extended deep sleep. So we sleep, a soul sleeps. When death comes, a soul sleeps till it is awakened into another body. And then its consciousness is again Jagrit, and then it starts taking or perceiving whatever that consciousness has been given to him in that body. So these are the states of consciousness. And we see that after death, when the soul is in deep sleep, or the soul, the consciousness of the soul is totally subdued for quite some time, especially in the human form of life, a soul comes into a mother's womb. And in the mother's womb, the soul is in subdued consciousness, or this Sushupti stage, for quite some time. And unlike the material scientists who mention that the fetus in the mother's womb gets life only after a certain period, the Bhagavatam doesn't confirm that. The Bhagavatam says, and this is again mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. There Kapila Dev mentions that Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deha Upapataye Striya Pravishta Udaram Pumso Reta Kanashraya. So what does this mean? Karmana Daiva Netrena, that under the direction of the Lord, the spirit soul acquires different kinds of bodies depending on his karma. So under the direction of the Lord, Daiva and Karma, Karmana Daiva Netrena. Jantur Deha Upapataye, he acquires a different kind of body. And this happens, the soul enters into the womb of the mother, Sriya Pravishta Udaram, he enters into the Udaram, or the womb of the mother, Pumso Reta Kanashriya, through the semen of a man. So as soon as the mother conceives, the soul is already present inside the womb of the mother. And because the soul is present, the fetus is developing around the soul. So it is not that the fetus is developing and later on consciousness comes into the fetus. But the soul is present from the beginning, and the fetus is growing because of the presence of the soul. And for the first 6 or 7 months, this soul is in deep sleep or it's in sushupti, and only after the seventh month the consciousness becomes jagrat, or he becomes a little bit wakeful, or it is less subdued, the consciousness. And when the soul awakens and he sees around him, he is very scared. And it is very graphically mentioned by Kapila Dev to Devahuti that when the child is in the mother's womb, he is very scared. He sees that he is in this womb, entrapped or encaged in this confined space, and there are so many worms which are eating him. There is so much of pungent food he has to tolerate. Whatever the mother eats that attacks the child because it's pungent or sour or salty or whatever, he has to tolerate all that. And when the mother is moving around, the child is pushed around or tossed around in the womb. So all these graphic descriptions are there in Kardama Muni Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. And when the soul sees himself entrapped like this, he is very scared and he feels that I am in such a dangerous situation. And in that situation, then the soul takes shelter of the Lord. And the soul prays to the Lord that, oh my Lord, please release me from this hell, from this hellish condition that you put me in. And that is why we see, like, so many times when we are preaching to new people and we say that birth, disease, old age and death, these are the four problems of material world. They say that, why are you saying birth is a problem? Whenever a child is born, we are also happy, we have happy birthday celebrations and all, and we distribute sweets to our neighbors. But we see here what suffering the child in the womb is going through. And the child is fervently praying to the Lord that please release me from this hell. If you release me from this hell, I will become your devotee. I assure you that, my Lord. This is what the child is praying to the Lord. But unfortunately, as soon as the child comes out, Maya or the three modes of material nature take over and the child forgets his prayers and he gets entrapped in this Maya. So thus we see that the consciousness is always evolving. It is not that death puts an end to the consciousness. Death is nothing but the consciousness which has gone to sleep for a long time, or sushupti, and then the consciousness is awakened in another body. And for it can be compared to, for example, when someone is kidnapped in his sleep. Let's say a person is kidnapped in his sleep and then when he wakes up, he finds himself somewhere else. Oh, where have I come? He wonders. So same way, it is like the soul is kidnapped by death and it is put into a deep sleep and then his consciousness is awakened again in another body, depending on the type of activities he has performed. He awakens in a different body and then he starts identifying himself with that body. So we see that every time a soul is going through these three states of consciousness. But the question is that which of these three states, Jagrati, Swapna or Sushupti, which of these three states of consciousness is the correct consciousness for the soul? So right now we are all sitting in this class, I'm giving the class and everyone is listening to the class. Hopefully no one is sleeping. So that is called as the Jagrati state or the awake state or the alert state of consciousness. And then when we go home, when night comes, we'll all go to sleep. And in our sleep, we may have some dreams. And someone may have a dream that he's a king. And he is enjoying in his palace and there are very nice beds and he has so many ministers and there's a big kingdom he is ruling. So in that state, in his dream state when he is the king, he has forgotten his awake state when he was listening to the lecture. When he is dreaming he is a king, he doesn't think, oh yeah, yeah, when I was awake I was listening to a lecture in the morning. No, that time he is dreaming he is a king. But in the morning when he wakes up, he realizes, if he remembers the dream, he just laughs it off. He said, no, I'm not the king. I'm a simple person who has to reach office now at 9:30 in the morning. So that is how, when there was a Jagrati state, we were not aware that there was a sleeping state. And when there is a dream state, we forget our Jagrati state. And in deep sleep, when somebody goes to deep sleep, then we forget totally, even... both the Jagrati and the Swapna state are totally forgotten. So there is no king, no lecture, nothing is there. Somebody is in deep sleep. And especially we get this when we are extremely tired, where we have worked hard during the day. Then we go into deep sleep as soon as we hit the bed. So we see that in one state, the other two states are forgotten. So which one is real, or which state of consciousness is the real consciousness of a soul? And for this, there is a very nice example, or there is a very nice story of a king which I had heard. So there was a king, and he was a king. He was ruling a very big kingdom. He had lots of ministers and lots of queens and an opulent palace. So once when he went off to sleep, he got a dream that he is a butterfly. And that dream was so vivid, like some of our dreams are so vivid that actually we feel that we are that person in the dream. So similarly, this king's dream was so vivid as a butterfly that he started totally identifying with this butterfly. And he saw in the dream that he is flying from one flower to the other flower, and the flowers are so beautiful, and he is sucking nectar from every flower, and the nectar was so sweet, and he was really enjoying as a butterfly. And then suddenly he wakes up in the middle of the night. And when he wakes up, because his dream was so vivid, he is not able to come to terms with the consciousness that he is the king, and he is wavering between these two states of consciousness. And he gets confused that, am I the king now who was dreaming that I was a butterfly? Or actually am I the butterfly who is dreaming right now that I am the king? So he gets confused, and in the middle of the night he summons all his ministers, like kings normally do when they want some advice, or when they are confused, or when they don't know what decision to take. So the ministers are really perturbed. Why is the king calling us in the middle of the night? So they are a bit scared, but he summons every minister to his bedroom. And then he puts forth this question to all his ministers. And he asked them that, I had this dream in which I was a butterfly, and I was sucking nectar, and I was going from flower to flower. There was a beautiful garden, and it was all so vivid that now I'm confused whether I am the king or am I the butterfly. So y'all now answer me whether I am the king or the butterfly. Which state of consciousness is correct? And the ministers all are trembling, and he says that if y'all don't answer me correctly, I'll chop your heads off. So the ministers are all trembling. They were used to giving advice to the king. But what advice was that? It was on matters of governance, politics, how much tax to do, if there is a neighboring kingdom invading, then how to arrange our army. They were used to giving all this advice. But suddenly the king has called them in the middle of the night, and he is asking such a question, whether I'm a king or a butterfly. So the ministers are really scared. But one of the wise ministers, and actually the scriptures also confirm that, what the wise minister says. He says, he tells the king that neither you are the butterfly nor you are the king. You are not both of these things. And from the point of view of Jagrati, like from the point of view of Jagrati stage, when he is the king as awake, the Swapna state was wrong, that you are not the butterfly. But when you think that you are the butterfly, then the Jagrati state is wrong. So the minister explains that in any state, he explains about these three states, and he says that in any state of consciousness when you are in, the other two states of consciousness will always appear to be false or not present at all. So from point of view of each consciousness which a jiva is experiencing, the other consciousness appears to be false or appears not to be there. And then, so the scriptures question, then which is that point of view of consciousness from which all the three states are false, and that consciousness which is correct? And that is the fourth stage of consciousness. And what is that fourth state of consciousness, or what is that real consciousness? Is that I am an eternal soul, and I am a Satchidananda soul. I am full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. And the identity of my identity, or the identity of the soul, is that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So from that point of view, when the soul realizes that point of view, he realizes that the other three states of consciousness, that is the Jagrati state, the Swapna state, and the Sushupti state, all these three states are actually just temporary manifestations of my original state. depending on the type of identification I do in association with the three modes of material nature. So my real consciousness is expressed through the medium of the body, and that is why these three states of consciousness come up. And I sometimes feel I'm a human, sometimes I feel I'm a bird, and in that body I experience these different states of consciousness. So the only reality is to come to this true state of consciousness for all jivas. That is the true work or the true purpose of a jiva, to get awakened to this real state of consciousness, that I am not this body, I am not my mind, I am not my false ego, but I am just an eternal servant of Lord Krishna. But how to wake up to this real state of consciousness? And that is when we come back to the Lord's creation of this web of the material world. So as we mentioned, that the acharyas have mentioned that there is a purpose behind the Lord's creation, and that purpose is to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls, or to awaken the fallen conditioned souls to their true identity or to their true nature or true constitutional position of being an eternal soul full of bliss and knowledge, and that he is the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. So that is the purpose of the Lord creating this web, to reclaim fallen conditioned souls. And the Lord does this either by performing his pastimes or by giving us the Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy names. So we see that the Lord has created this web for reclaiming the fallen conditioned souls. Now normally in the material world, when we use the word reclamation, this word reclamation is actually meant in a very derogatory way, because reclamation, usually we see there is land reclamation, or land being reclaimed from the sea, or land being reclaimed from the forests. So when the forests are cut down or the sea is reclaimed to build more and more buildings or to build more and more factories. So this reclamation word is used by human beings for their own profit, to have some vested interest or to fulfill some vested interest. But when we say that the Lord is reclaiming, or the Lord has created this web to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls, that is the highest act of the Lord's compassion or the Lord's love for the jivas or for his children. So when the Lord comes, he performs either his pastimes or he gives us the Yuga Dharma. So just as when a person is sleeping, he is in the Swapna state or he is in the Shushupti state, how do we wake up a person? If for example my son is sleeping, then how do I wake him up? I call him out, I make some sound to wake up that person. So just as a person who is in the material world, having a material body, is woken up by a material sound vibration, similarly, a soul who is sleeping or who is not awake to his original constitutional position is usually woken up by a transcendental sound vibration. So because the soul is spiritual, a spiritual sound vibration is used to wake up the soul to his original constitutional position. And that sound vibration is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, a soul wakes up to his original spiritual consciousness. And in this connection, there is a song in the Vaishnava songs book, which one of the acharyas has sung. It says, jeev jago, gora chandir bole, khota nidra jao maya, pisha chera bole. So wake up, and Gaurvani Prabhu has really popularized this song. He says, wake up sleeping souls, for how long you will sleep in the lap of this witch maya. But wake up, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and wake up to your original constitutional position and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is what we wanted to mention about today's verse. And also today is the auspicious day of Return Rath Yatra. So Return Rath Yatra is the day when actually after the Rath Yatra gets over, the Lord comes back in his Rath to the main temple of Jagannath Puri. So during Rath Yatra, as we all know, the Lord goes to the Gundicha temple. And this Gundicha temple is actually like a replica of Vrindavan. And we know the inner meaning of Rath Yatra is when the gopis are pulling the Lord, that no, you come out of this Aishwarya mode or you come out of this princely mode and come into our hearts or come into Vrindavan again as the original cowherd boy. So the Lord actually goes to Gundicha, which is like Vrindavan, and he has a small break or a small summer vacation over there. And then the Lord returns back. So today is the auspicious day of the Lord returning back in his Rath. So after the Rath Yatra, we thought we'll spend a few minutes glorifying the Lord's return Rath Yatra event. So after the Lord goes in his Rath Yatra to Gundicha, on the sixth day, which is called as Hera Panchami, it is called as. So sixth day from the Rath Yatra, but it is the Panchami Tithi of this Hindu calendar. On the fifth day, the goddess Lakshmi goes to see the Lord, because the Lord has left goddess Lakshmi behind and gone away to Gundicha to enjoy his summer pastimes or to enjoy his summer vacation. So goddess Lakshmi is extremely angry with the Lord, and she dresses up in a regal attire and she goes to meet the Lord along with her maid servants, and the Lord pacifies her somehow by giving her some gifts and necklaces and all that, and the Lord sends her back. And then on the 10th day after the Rath Yatra is over, so which is Dashmi, which is today, the return Rath Yatra happens, and this return Rath Yatra is called as the Bahuda Rath Yatra. And this Rath Yatra is also similar to all the festivities, and the rituals are all similar to the original Rath Yatra when the Lord goes to Gundicha, except that when the Lord is returning back, Lord Jagannath's cart or chariot stops in front of the Ardhashani temple. I think there is a goddess called Ardhashani. I have never been to Puri, but I read this from the book. I think there is a goddess called Ardhashani, and Jagannath's chariot stops in front of the Ardhashani temple. And the goddess gives him a cheesecake, like a delicious cheesecake is offered to the Lord. So the Lord enjoys this, and then all the three chariots proceed towards the main temple of Puri. And the three chariots come, they are stationed in front of the Simha Dwar or the Simha Gate of the Puri temple. And the Lord doesn't go in immediately. So on the next day is Ekadashi, which is Shayan Ekadashi, like tomorrow is Shayan Ekadashi. So on the day of Shayan Ekadashi, Shayan means to sleep. So on the day of Shayan Ekadashi, the Lord actually goes to sleep for 4 months, and that is how we start the Chaturmasya celebration. Like some Vaishnava calendars start Chaturmasya celebrations from Ekadashi, but we are following the Purnima system. So for us, Chaturmasya will start from Monday when it is Guru Purnima. So the Lord goes to sleep for 4 months, and then the Lord wakes up after 4 months on Devuti Ekadashi, it is called as, when Kartik month gets over. So the Lord, all the three chariots of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra are standing in front of this Simha Dwar. And on the evening of this Shayan Ekadashi, all the three deities are dressed in very beautiful golden outfits, or Sona outfits it is called. And many people from all over India, from the neighboring villages and different parts of the country, come to take darshan of the Lord on this mystic night of Ekadashi, when the Lord has dressed up in golden attire. And it happens only once in a year, so there is a big crowd which comes to take darshan of the Lord in these outfits. And then finally on Dwadashi day, the Lord actually returned to the main temple. So first Lord Balaram's chariot goes in, and Lord Balaram goes to the altar, followed by Subhadra Mai. She enters into the altar. And then when Lord Jagannath is about to enter into the temple to go back on the altar, Lakshmi Devi and her maid servants close the doors of the temple. And they don't allow Lord Jagannath to enter because her anger has not subsided. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, is still angry with the Lord. That why did he go away for so many days, leaving me over here? Why did he go away to Vrindavan or to Gundicha to enjoy his summer vacation, leaving me behind? So the maid servants of Lakshmi Devi close the doors of the temple and don't allow Lord Jagannath to enter. And then there is a big debate which happens between the maid servants of Lakshmi Devi and the servants of Lord Jagannath. And there is negotiations going on, there's a debate and argument going on. One is fighting on behalf of Lakshmi Devi, one party is fighting on behalf of Lord Jagannath. So they have these negotiations, and then ultimately Lord Jagannath pacifies all the maid servants as well as Lakshmi Devi by giving her lots of ornaments and gifts and all that. And then the maidservants allow Lord Jagannath to come inside. And then all the three deities take their place back on the altar. So we thought we'll just spend a few minutes describing this return Rath Yatra of the Lord. So we'll end our class here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? You have a question, bro?
Can they come back from Rath Yatra, they go to sleep or they go back?
I read in this book called Jai Jagannath. It has been translated by Dhruv Maharaj Das. And in that it says that not the main deities, like the big main deities, they don't go to sleep, but they have something called as Utsavamurti. Utsavamurti is the Lord, the small deity form of the Lord, which is taken on a palanquin, like which is used usually taken on palanquins during festivals and all. That's why it's called Utsavamurti. And I think that deity is called as Madan Mohan or something like that. So these small deities are actually put to sleep. They have special beds created and they are actually put to sleep, and they again give darshan only when Kartik ends.
When they go with each other,
they actually go. That is where the Rath Yatra goes. When we see the Rath Yatra happened in Puri a few days ago, so actually the raths are taken. There is Gundicha is a temple. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to use the services of all his followers to clean this Gundicha temple, or Gundicha Marjan it was called, of to welcome the Lord in a clean temple. So Gundicha is actually a temple near Puri where the Lord goes.
Can you remember what Gundicha is?
I know Lord.
Didn't he go to the? He went to another temple because he couldn't get passion for the job. That's why he was carrying it out.
I'm not sure of the question. Sorry.
Mother,
you
always say that the nature of the soul is relative. So, we reference to the four stages at that.
Nature of the soul is to be always active, and then?
So that's we are referring to the fourth stage?
Yes. Because the original nature of the soul is to be always active. And that is why we shun the Mayavadi philosophy that we become one with God or we merge into Brahman. So we shun that. Prabhupada says that when we say we merge into Brahman, that means the soul has, actually it is called a spiritual suicide for the soul. Because there is no activity in Brahman, there is no personality to serve, or there are no other personalities whom you can have any relationship with. How can you have relationship with an effulgence? Like I say, oh, this is light, it's so beautiful. How can I have relationship with a light? So there is no activity in the Brahman, and that is why it is called as suicide for the soul. Because Prabhupada mentions that the nature of the soul is to be always active. Since we are parts and parcels of the original absolute truth or of Lord Krishna, so because the original absolute truth is active, we also have that quality of being active, and that is the fourth state, which is our true conscious, our true nature, our true constitutional position, to be active in the service of the Lord.
So first three stages are just material.
Yeah. First three stages we acquire when we are in the material world. But it is not that when one is awakened to his fourth state or his true state of consciousness, these three, it's not that the person doesn't sleep or the person doesn't have dreams or anything like that. But this is its true consciousness. And the soul is slowly getting awakened to that true consciousness. So the activities of the material body may continue, and we may go through these three states sometime. But as more and more the soul awakens, then we hear how Prabhupada used to sleep hardly for 1.5 to 2 hours in a day, and we hear of the acharyas like Haridas Thakur and all. So when you are more and more awake to your original conscious position, then other three states slowly stop acting on the body. You are above the bodily consciousness slowly. We'll end here. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.